taking our Bibles to Psalm 29. Psalm 29, we're going to be continuing in our part two message on the supremacy of God. Last week, as we studied the doctrine of the supremacy of God, we saw that the Lord is supreme over heavenly beings. We know that our Lord is above all that is earthly or created, and we know that angels were created. The morning stars that shouted for joy, sons of God singing. Well, Psalm 29 talks to us about our Lord being supreme over the heavenly beings. And if the angels give honor to the Lord and worship Him in holiness. And I love that phrase that is found in verse 2. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The word holiness is actually the word set apart or separated from. God wants us to worship Him, first of all, by being separated from all things that are against His nature and character. He wants us to be separated from evil and evil things and separated unto Him. Separated from the world, but separated unto Him. And the word separated or holiness carries the same concept there. Now this week we're going to be looking at the supremacy of God over the forces of nature. And that's found in verses 3 through 9. And it's interesting that in this passage of Scripture, we see the phrase, voice of the Lord, used 7 times. Think of the phrase, the voice of the Lord. Have you sought the voice of the Lord today? Oh, there are many, many voices crying out for your attention and my attention in this world. There is the voice of pride and arrogance and that old sin nature within us that cries for attention. The voice of evil around us in this world. The voice of hate. The voice of anger. Materialism crying out for our attention. Some even listen to the voice of fear. I think of the voice of the Lord that the Scriptures spoke of in the book of Genesis chapter 3. Let's turn there very quickly. Don't lose your place in Psalm 29. But I think of the voice of the Lord. Think of Adam as he walked with the Lord in the cool of the evening. The voice of fellowship with God. In Genesis 3:8, the Word of God says, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Having had a practice of fellowshipping with the Lord, seeking His voice, man, now fallen into sin, is running from the voice of God. You know, I sometimes wonder why, folks, we live in such a noisy world. Think of it. How do you spend your idle time? Some people constantly have to have the radio on, constantly have to have the TV on. And it used to be when exercise buffs used to get out in the beauty of nature, that might give an opportunity for the voice to speak through. But now with the advent of Walkman radios and all of these things that people are attaching to their heads, it seems that no one has time to listen to the still small voice. Then there's the voice of fear. Remember when Elijah listened to the voice of Jezebel? rather than the voice of the Lord? Here we have Adam and Eve hearing the voice. Verse 10, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. You know, sin brings fear. Sin causes us not to want to hear the voice of the Lord. I believe that if more believers wanted to hear the voice of the Lord, there would be more faithfulness in the house of the Lord to hear the Word of God, don't you think? I sometimes wonder if one of the reasons why believers don't take time to be in the Word of God as they should is that they don't want to hear the voice of the Lord speak to them, because it brings conviction. It'll cramp certain lifestyles that have usurped the lordship of Christ in their hearts. Jesus said in John 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. Many are not seeking the voice of the Lord simply because they have never known Him as Savior. But you know, as we look at Psalm chapter 29, we see three things about the voice of the Lord. Psalm 29, verses 3 through 9. First of all, His voice is pervasive, and we saw this last week. His voice is seen as upon the waters, and we took the time to look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 15, and saw the voice of our Savior, and when He spoke, it was as the voice of many waters. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. You know, the Word of God says even the testimony of nature is as a voice bubbling forth the testimony of the existence of God. His voice is everywhere. And notice it says, the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. He's omnipresent, and His voice is pervasive. I want you to notice in verses 4 through 9, His voice is powerful. Notice how His power is pictured in verse 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. You know, the way we listen to God's voice is by listening to His Word. And His Word is certainly powerful and quick and sharper than any two-edged sword, it says in Hebrews 4:12. Notice, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Now notice what it says about the Lord's powerful voice, using the imagery here of the cedars of Lebanon, which were the grandest of forest trees. It says here, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. You know, I saw pictures, as many of you did. You recall National Geographic, and when Mount St. Helens just totally exploded and erupted, the tremendous decimation that it left of the forestry, just totally, totally denuding that area. And you know, the voice of the Lord is so powerful, even using here the imagery of the cedars of Lebanon, just breaking the cedars. I'm glad the Word of God broke my hardened heart when I heard it and I came to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Jeremiah said, is not my word like a hammer? His word, His voice, speaking to hearts. Praise the Lord, He's able to break hardened hearts. The skeptic has tried to destroy the Word of God, but the Word of God is the anvil that has worn out many hammers of the skeptics. And God's Word is powerful, and it's pictured here as snapping cedars like a twig. God's Word is powerful. Many of you have been praying for loved ones that do not know Christ as Savior. You give them the Word of God every chance you get. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When you write a letter, include Scripture. include a gospel tract. They'll never get saved. Man will never, ever get saved apart from the Word of God. That's why Satan is tampering so much with the Word of God today. He hates the Word of God. He seeks to twist the Word of God. But we are to unleash the Word of God. And you know, Satan wants to do everything he can to keep you from the Word of God. If he can keep you busy, listen to me now, if he can keep you busy, even in Christian service, he'll be happy. Because if you're not in the Word of God, we're not going to be abiding in Him. We're not going to have His anointing and with His blessing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Oh, let's realize that God's Word is that which is powerful. How many times, don't ask me how in the world a person can say he's in the ministry and not preach the Word of God. I don't understand it. If I didn't have this book to preach, I wouldn't have a message at all, because all of my words would fall to the floor. It's the Word of God that lives and abides forever. It's God's Word that is pervasive, and it's God's Word that's powerful. Notice it says here in verse 6, He maketh them, speaking of the cedars of Lebanon, He maketh them also to skip like a calf. You have a picture of the cedars of Lebanon, just with the powerful blast of the Lord's voice. It's almost like pickup sticks being thrown on the floor. That's the power of God's Word. Let's use it. Let's unleash it. Let's proclaim the Word of God. We don't need more convention books from headquarters. We don't need people telling us what to preach. We need to preach the Word of God. Paul told Timothy, preach, Timothy, the Word. The time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, folks, my heart's broken tonight on something. Melody received two calls this week from individuals inquiring about our church. And one of the questions, tell me about your church. Well, Melody said, I could tell you quite a bit, but why don't we do this? Why don't you ask me some questions, and then we'll start by answering your questions, and I'll kind of just fill in as we go. The very first question that was asked about inquiring our church, do you have a praise and worship band? Now, folks, my heart is broken. My heart is on it. I know it's laughable, but it's lamentable. Because what we are seeing today among this generation is the entertainment craze. The first question ought to be, do you folks preach the Word of God? Never, never, until Melody brought it up, was that concern even brought up. That's sad. The other phone call had to do with facilities. And you know, the truth of the matter is, the facilities and the praise and the worship bands mean nothing if we are not proclaiming the truth of God's Word. And half the time they won't mean anything anyway if they're giving the music of the world and all of that. But, you know, it's the Word of God that breaks men's hearts, and we need to proclaim the Word of God. As a matter of fact, it says in verse 6, Lebanon and Syrian, like a young unicorn. God's Word is so powerful. Syrian is the Phoenician name for Mount Hermon on the north of Dan. Verse 7 says, the voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. It's almost in the sense that God's Word is subject to His command, and you almost have a picture of a blacksmith with his hammer hammering down, and the sparks are flying, and the Lord is dividing the flames of fire. The Word, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Notice, it goes on to say here, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. It enables the deer to give birth. And we're waiting for notices of childbirth. But you know, God's voice is even in charge of the animal kingdom. So it goes to show you how much more he'll be in charge as to the timing of David and Jessica's baby coming up. And we haven't heard anything, so no phone calls at 3 in the morning. So therefore we know that the time has not come. But the voice of the Lord is pervasive, even over nature. We can see that. The forces of nature. It says here, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Now I want you to notice finally, not only is the voice of the Lord supreme over heavenly beings and the forces of nature, verses 3 through 9, but the voice of the Lord is supreme over humanity in verses 10 and 11. And you know, he's supreme over humanity. He brings judgment when the time comes. It says, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. And the word that is used here speaking is the flood, the Noahic flood. The voice of the Lord, it refers to the universal flood of Genesis. And the Lord is a God who brings judgment upon the wicked. And he is supreme over humanity. And you know, the Word of God tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 that there are mockers today. And they're saying, oh, where is the promise of the Lord's coming? For since the beginning, all things continue as they once did. And the concept of uniformitarianism and such. But if you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord speaking through Peter says, hey, the Noah's flood was a manifestation of divine intervention. And God is someday going to intervene again. Only this time it's not going to be by water. It's going to be by what? By fire. Exactly. As a matter of fact, the Lord may appear to be delaying his judgment. But the Word of God says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, verse 9 of 2 Peter 3, but he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you know, the reason why the Lord seems to be delaying is that he's just manifesting to us the concept of the worth of a soul. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the Word of God says the elements shall burn with fervent heat, and there's going to be the establishment of the new heaven and the new earth. But God is supreme over his humanity, and he manifested that supremacy when he destroyed the earth by the universal flood. But notice in verse 11, the Lord is supreme over humanity, not only in bringing judgment, but in providing blessing. Because in verse 11, it says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. I'm so thankful for verse 11. I'm thankful for times of trial, that I have God's strength available to me. You know, it's not a matter of conjuring up your own strength by faith. Your strength will never, ever be able to meet the tests of the day. It's a matter of Jesus Christ infusing his strength in you. It's his strength that he provides for us. The Word of God reminds us very, very clearly in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, and verse 20, that we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The concept there is that Jesus Christ wants to live his life through us. So he will give strength unto his people. He provides his strength. and we can claim that. And the Bible says the Lord will bless His people with peace. I'm thankful for that peace. A lot of people are looking for peace in a bottle. A lot of people are looking for peace through anesthetic crutches. I'm thankful that the Lord provides His people with peace. But you know, that peace is all tied in to listening to His still small voice. Oh, how we need to listen to the voice of the Lord. May we listen to the voice of the Lord. And as Elijah of old, his voice was not in the thunder or the lightning necessarily. It was the still small voice. Let's look to the Lord now in prayer and ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the supremacy of our God. Thank You, Lord, that You alone are supreme. And Lord, that's why the Word of God says we are to render unto You Your due worship. And Father, we thank You and we worship You. And Lord, forgive us for the many times that we have not placed You as supreme in our lives, but we've allowed the trials and testings and the distractions of other voices to crowd out as dissonant sounds our ability to hear Your voice. Lord, if angels worship You, how much more should we? And we'll be spending all eternity in a cacophony of voices together with angels worshiping Your name in heaven. May that begin now. Father, we thank You for the beauty of Your creation that testifies to Your handiwork. And as a voice cries out, and Lord, how I thank You for the beauty of Your nature. And Lord, thank You for just a glimpse of what beauty we're going to see in heaven someday. So Lord, thank You for Your supremacy, for Your love. Lord, give us the fear of the Lord to realize that He's a God of judgment. But also, Heavenly Father, thank You for the blessing for those that walk uprightly and seek to follow You. Bless us as we go to prayer. We ask, Heavenly Father, for those that may be discouraged, those, Father, that may think that life is out of control, that have heard this message today, that, Heavenly Father, we would turn to You, knowing, Lord, that when we cry out to You in prayer, that You respond in power. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving we pray. Amen.